Where do we find Jesus in the book of Job? I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Job in 4 Not So Easy Steps. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. Pastor Ross Johnson has written our Wittenberg Trail feature. It's titled Lutheranism, Christianity's Best Kept Secret, the free online Issues Etc. journal. It's sad to say that a lot of Christians, probably unwittingly, do this. They say, look, it's God who forgives sins, so why do I need to go to church? I'll just read the Bible. I can be assured of my forgiveness there. I'll make my confession of sins, and isn't that enough? Is there something about self-forgiveness that falls short? Not the forgiveness, but something about self-forgiveness that falls short of how God would deliver the forgiveness of your sins to you. Joining us to answer that question on this Tuesday afternoon, the 28th of January, Pastor Kurt Onken. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Marysville, Washington, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Do-It-Yourself Forgiveness. Pastor Onken, welcome to Issues Etc.
That's good to be with you, Todd.
Christians know that Jesus is the one who forgives sins, so why can't I just pray, confess my sins to Jesus, ask for forgiveness, and stay home on Sunday morning?
Yeah, one of the things I mentioned in the article is that, certainly forgiveness isn't confined to a place. It is found in the person of Jesus. And so it's possible for a person to read the Word and read those words of forgiveness in the Scriptures and to hear that in their heart and to receive that forgiveness. But there's also this fact that we've been called into a body, the body of Christ, and we gather together, and He places himself in those means that he's given to us. The preached word, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and so that message has to be preached and told and proclaimed and heard, and it happens normally in that context where he's placed those means, and that's in that divine service where we hear God's word proclaimed to us, the word of the gospel, and where people are baptized and God's forgiveness is given through those means. And then, of course, where he's located himself in the sacrament of the altar, where he gives us his true body and blood. And then also, of course, as Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And that's another preaching of the forgiveness of sins, the very death and resurrection of Jesus, and he places that into our mouths with his body and blood, and that word into our ears. And so it's located right there in that place among the body of believers where we receive that wonderful forgiveness together, and then take it out from this place, of course, and proclaim it in our various vocations where God sends us.
So it isn't about, I have to go to church to receive forgiveness as much as it is that Christ has instituted means, which these means, preaching of the word, baptism, Lord's Supper, they constitute his church. That is where he's delivering the forgiveness for me to receive.
That's exactly right. One of the things I love to tell my confirmation kids is, don't say, I got to go to church. Change that one little word, O, to an E, and say, I get to go to church, and see it as a gift. Of course, the third commandment, Dr. Luther's explanation does say that we don't despise preaching in his word, but we hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And so the believer in Jesus is going to want to go and receive those gifts wherever they're offered and whenever they're offered.
What is the danger of, I guess for lack of a better word, kind of self-absolution? That is, I kind of acknowledge my sins before God, and then I just kind of reassure myself, okay, I'm forgiven. What's the danger of self-administered absolution?
Yeah, I think the danger is you're always going to be wondering how sincere your own confession is and how sincere you receive those words, and are you even hearing them? I even think sometimes that's why individual confession and absolution is so necessary too, because it's possible for a person, I think, even sit in the divine service and hear the general absolution. It's a real absolution. God's forgiveness is being given, but as you're doing it with other people, the danger is for someone to say, yeah, that's good, but I'm not so sure that's for me. What I've done is just too bad, and a person's conscience is just racked with guilt and shame, and that's when a person takes advantage of not just the general absolution, but especially individual confession, where you can hear that word addressed personally to you and to that particular sin or sins that are really bothering you, and to hear your pastor pronounce to you, I forgive you all your sins instead and by the command of Jesus, to make it personal, to make it particular.
So is the danger there that if we leave it entirely in kind of the realm of the subjective, me dealing with myself, that's not really how Christ instituted this forgiveness to be spoken?
I think that's exactly right, because he's given us the office of the keys to the church to announce forgiveness to the sinner, to the penitent, to withhold forgiveness from those who do not repent of their sins. And then the local congregation hands that responsibility over to the pastor, who says, basically, they're saying, Pastor, I want you to be the man in this place, the called person who is going to proclaim the gospel, to baptize, to announce forgiveness and the absolution, to give us the body and blood of Jesus in the sacrament. So then to hear those from your pastor. Now, certainly, you know, Luther talks about the abundant application of the gospel. He says this in the small called articles, where he says that God's gospel is proclaimed in the spoken word, baptism, the sacrament of the altar, the power of the keys, and then he also talks about the mutual conversation and consolation of the brethren. So, you know, certainly as Christians, share the good news with one another too, and forgive one another for their sins. You know, that's God's abundant application of the gospel being given, but he's also given us this objective means of all those means, word and sacrament, to deliver that gospel forgiveness personally to each individual.
You spoke earlier, mentioned individual confession and absolution, which is something that has, well, an ancient pedigree in the church all the way back to Jesus and the apostles. But many people today think that it is, well, quite awkward, but they also think it's a Roman Catholic practice that Lutherans should not be observing. How would you explain that?
Well, I suppose I would point them to the Catechism in particular, where it's not a foreign Lutheran idea. It is very much something that is upheld, and you know, I suppose I would argue also for the fact of, again, to be able to personally confess your sins to someone else. Even secular counselors talk about how therapeutic that is, but we can go far beyond just the therapy of it. We can go to the word of the Lord that says, you're forgiven, and your guilt and your shame is truly taken away. And so the importance of being able to talk that out and to name it, and then to hear forgiveness specifically applied to that particular sin that's really bothering somebody. Well, and I suppose it doesn't even have to be a particular sin. I mean, I just mentioned in my confirmation class last night that if you just want to hear the gospel proclaimed to you personally, take advantage of individual confession. You don't even have to name a particular sin. I mean, I think the rubrics say, don't they, that in the Lutheran service book, that don't torture yourself, right? You don't need to just agonize over finding something to say. But if you just want to hear the gospel proclaimed to you personally, take advantage of it.
Finally, aren't we really talking here about the bigger question, which is, what is the church for? Why has Christ instituted a church? And what does it mean to be a member of Christ's body, the church?
It's really all about forgiveness, isn't it? I mean, this is what Jesus came to do. He came, from the very beginning, right? The fall into sin and God's first promise of the Savior given to Adam and Eve, and all of the Old Testament covenantal promises and the worship and the system of sacrifices that he gave in the under the old covenant, which dealt with the shedding of blood and the covering over of their sins, all pointing, of course, to that once for all sacrifice that Jesus earned for us with his shed blood at the cross. And then he delivers that to us all over the place through the proclamation of the gospel, through the preaching of the word, and through baptism, the Lord's Supper, absolution. You know, it's just all over the place in the catechism too, isn't it? I mean, the second and third articles of the Creed, the second article is about Jesus' redemption and what he did for us by purchasing and winning us with his shed blood. And then how is that applied to us? Well, the third article talks about that, right? Through the preaching of the forgiveness of sins, and the Holy Spirit comes to us through those means. So it's just all over the place, and it starts in that place where the church gathers together around word and sacrament, the place of Jesus' real presence, where he locates himself for us, and he's our Emmanuel. We just got through talking about that in the Christmas season, didn't we? Where he is God with us, and we can know, because he promised he's really there with us in the sacrament, and we can hear his word and receive his gifts proclaimed from that place.
Somebody says, a kind of person that you mentioned earlier in our conversation, who may say, you know, I'm not going to church because you don't know what I've done. I mean, my sins are too great. And although I know Christ forgives, that's not a place for me. I mean, that kind of forgiveness can't be for a sinner like me. Speak, if you would, to that person here in the last few minutes.
Yeah, I suppose I'd maybe want to talk a little bit more about what is bothering him or her. What exactly did they do? Tell me about it. And then talk about how, you know, all sin truly separates us from God. In God's eyes, there's no sin greater than another. Certainly in our temporal experience, yeah, some sins have a different effect and a different consequence in our life, depending on what we've done. But you know, even our sins of lust and the things that we do when we gossip, you know, we don't tend to say those are that quote unquote big of a deal, but they are. So I would tell this person to come join with all of these sinners. You don't know what all these other people have done in that gathering, and we all need the forgiveness that is proclaimed to us. We all need Jesus. So come join with the rest of us and receive his gifts and hear the good news that you're forgiven, you're clean, you're cleansed.
Pastor Kurt Onken is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Marysville, Washington. He's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Do-It-Yourself Forgiveness. Kurt, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be with you again.
When we come back, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will join us from the Ruth Institute. We'll talk about a Harvard study on single-parent families and poverty. Stay tuned.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.